Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine, and we have a great show planned for you today. Very shortly, we'll be taking calls from listeners who are dealing with some employee issues that they'd like some help with. Maybe you're struggling with a poor performer, or you're wondering the best way to deal with the problem child on your staff. Well, we're here to help. If we take your call on the air, we'll send you a $25 Starbucks gift card just in time for the holidays. As always, give us a call at 215-953-4979 and start dialing now. Meanwhile, let me introduce our co-hosts. Kathy Houston, the editor of Advantages, who's decked out in a bright red sweater today, is here. How goes it, Rudolph?
Very good.
Also, Joe Haley, our managing editor and host of The Joe Show, is on the mic today. What's up, Joe?
Oh, not much, Andy.
Finally, Michelle Bell, who has her Manolos on her feet today, is chipper as ever this morning. Michelle, how are you?
I am just fine. I snickered because I think I'm the problem child.
Chipper,
I'm
the
problem
morning,
child
Michelle.
Employee.
Think.
Self-awareness is very important.
You don't know that yet?
Melinda Lagos isn't with us today, but we're fired up and ready to go. Remember, we're getting ready to take your calls to help you deal with any employee problems you're having right now. Get ready to start dialing in a few minutes at 215-953-4979, and if we put you on the air, you'll get a $25 Starbucks gift card. But first, Joe, give us a rundown on what's on tap for today's show.
All right, Kathy is going to let us know what personality types will weather the economy the best. Bling, bling. Are luxury goods the bright spot in our current economy? Michelle weighs in on that. How do you handle a problem employee? Well, call in and we'll give you some good advice. We'll also look at why ROI is vital to marketing execs today. Yikes. A teacher selling ads on tests. Does it cross the line? What's going on in the wide world of sports marketing? We're going to take a look at that today. Michelle also looks at how colleges are using viral marketing to entice prospective students. Pedal power and how companies are encouraging their employees to bike to work. Hey, what's going on? Adidas competitors are actually throwing a party for Adidas employees.
That's nice.
We'll find out what's going on. All this in the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
Thanks, Joe. Fast-growing distributor Boundless Network seems to be on a holiday shopping spree. The Austin, Texas-based company acquired fellow Texas distributorship Custom Solutions last week, and yesterday the company announced that it has also purchased Petty Marketing Group, a Tennessee-based distributor. The two acquisitions within the past 7 days bring Boundless Network's 2008 acquisition total to 7. The company now has 18 regional offices. Two Counselor Top 40 companies have announced layoffs in the past few days. Top 40 distributor and uniform seller Cintas said that it is closing two manufacturing plants in Kentucky and eliminating 300 jobs. Also, Top 40 supplier 3M announced yesterday that it plans to cut 1,800 workers from its payrolls in the fourth quarter of this year. A couple of reports out this week show that advertising spending is in decline. A survey from BDO Seidman said that over 30% of retailers will reduce ad spending during the holidays due to weaker sales, while almost half predicted marketing spending to be flat. And another report from Zenith says that advertising spending is expected to be down by more than 5% in 2009. However, coupled with some of this economic bad news, in Promogram later today we'll have our next installment of our Gearing Up for 2009 video series, which gives distributors some tips for starting off the year on the right foot. Okay, Kathy, speaking about gearing up for 2009, I hear there are some personality types that are a little more ready to weather the economic storm. Tell us some more.
Well, I think we'd all be great in an economic downturn, which is now, because people that are thrill seekers, that's all of us, right, guys?
You bet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You
bet.
Well, they tend to be self-confident, are often creative and innovative, have high energy, and believe they control their own fate. Believing that you control your own destiny is key to surviving in an economic hardship. Also, optimism and resiliency are also positive traits for economic downturns. And those focused on money and possessions also may struggle.
Because, that's me.
Uh-oh, yeah. Michelle.
I know. I'm the material
those
girl.
Manolos.
Her head came up. Like, what are you talking
she
about?
She was hoping
me?
Kathy was going to say those focused on money and possessions will thrive.
Well,
no, but you are innovative and creative and self-confident, so you're good.
I thought you were
going
to say self-absorbed.
And self-absorbed, yeah. She's self-absorbed.
Well, that might not be such a
self-important
good
thing. And self-centered. And...
Thanks, Joe.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, guys, so to help people thrive in this kind of economy, the personalities obviously are important.
Right.
But what else can companies do? What do you think, Kathy, what do you think is a good step that companies can take to thrive in such an economy?
Well, I think that people are losing trust in all businesses in general. So you have to establish that rapport. Hopefully you have that established already. If you're the brand that they can trust, they will still seek you out.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, what do you think?
I have to agree with Kathy. You know, if you're doing the right things out there for your employees and your clients, and you have good relationships with them, you know, everything should weather this storm. It might be a little rocky at times, mm-hmm. But you know, no one says it's not going to be, or no one should believe that it won't be that way. But I think that in the long run, you'll weather that storm better.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to some distributors who are trying to do some things almost like infrastructure-wise that would help their business when things turn around, like revamping their website or trying to fulfill their sales pipeline. Mm-hmm. You know, just things that are not time killers, but are actually ways to use this kind of time to help fill their business for 2009.
Yeah, you know, like, and everything doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Like with your employees, you know, just having a positive workplace and encouraging them and thanking them and pats on the backs can go a long way, especially if there's a lot of, like, you know, gloom around them.
And that also spills out over to your clients, because if you have happy employees, it stands to reason that your clients are going to be happier too.
Sure. I mean, if you're sending out monthly mailings with a product, then you might have to scale that back if you're a distributor. But, you know, do it in a way that's not going to cost you any money. Just send email reminders or just email updates. You can always cobble together a little email newsletter to send to your best clients, mm-hmm. or all your clients, and it's really not going to cost that much more money than the time it takes someone at work to do it.
And try and keep your sense of humor too, even in times of hardship, because if you send out a funny e-newsletter, people are more likely to react to that and appreciate it.
We like that, mm-hmm. sense of humor.
Yep.
Yours is funny. Your Advantages newsletter is funny.
Well, people like it, and they do respond, so I think that's a good thing.
Cool. Well, hopefully some of that can help everybody thrive in a little bit of a downtime. All right, we're going to pause right now for a message from today's sponsor, I Promote You, and when we return, you'll find out why luxury goods are shining bright.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
We're back on ASI's Tuesday Morning Show and getting ready to take your calls. Give us a call at 215-953-4979 and let us help you with any employee dilemma you may be having right now. If we put you on the air, we'll send you a Starbucks gift card. But first, Michelle Bell has some information for us on luxury goods. Michelle, that's right up your alley, isn't it?
It certainly is. Some of my favorite things are luxury goods. Well, according to a survey by Elite Traveler and Prince & Associates, they surveyed affluent shoppers, and the trend seems to be that they really are not going to decrease their spending on luxury goods, meaning, you know, if they still want Louis Vuitton luggage, they're going to still buy Louis Vuitton luggage. Mm-hmm. Also, they're going to focus on education for their children and healthcare, and charitable giving will also continue to increase. And what I thought was interesting, I just got my December issue of Vogue, and the editor, Anna Wintour, who, for those of you who don't know, is the character in Devil Wears Prada, who that editor was based on, who is notoriously extravagant. She even is acknowledging the downturn in the economy by having a section in Vogue with items that are $500 or less, which is, I think, a first for Vogue.
Wow, that's right up my alley.
Well, yeah.
$500 or less.
I thought you were going to say she's shopping at Kmart now.
I think her head would explode
Walmart.
If she stepped in a Kmart.
I thought you were going to say $25 or less.
In Vogue, no.
That's Family Circle.
But, I mean, just to put it in perspective, some of the things in Vogue are, you know, there's a coat in there that I love that was $10,000. So for her to have a section for $500 and under.
Mm-hmm. Did you hold your breath and someone finally bought it for you? Stomp your feet?
I clicked my heels 3 times.
Your Manolo
there
heels.
It was.
But for this industry, I think what distributors can do for their clients is to look at some suppliers like Leeds or Gemline or Logomark, who have designer lines within their product offerings. And, you know, while consumers may not be looking at the big ticket items, they still may be able to get designer, instead of a huge bag, they may be able to get a designer pad folio.
Right.
So they can still have the cachet of a designer line without it being, you know, a big ticket item.
Right.
So that may be something that distributors can talk to their clients about.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, those are some great ideas. Okay, now we're going to take some listener calls. Today's topic, employee problems. If you're having an issue with an employee, things we know about in here, right, guys?
No.
Call us and tell us about it, and we'll send you a $25 Starbucks gift card. Give us a call at 215-953-4979. First, we have on the line Matt on line one. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. How's everybody doing?
Good. Terrific. What's your employee dilemma of the day?
Well, I have an employee. He's a very enthusiastic, hard worker.
Okay, that's good.
But he's become quite a distraction to other employees by asking them too many questions.
That's not so good.
Yeah, I don't want to tell him not to ask questions because I actually encourage that.
Sure.
Right.
But how would I address him to let him know he's taking up other employees' valuable time?
Good question.
Michelle, you're good at this.
I welcome guests, so I'm really not. I don't mind guests, except the weepers. I've the weepers bother me. But
you know, at some point, it's the employee's responsibility to get down and do some work. And if he's taking up too much time of the other employees there, he just needs to be brought into an office and sat down and said, look, we understand that you're asking a lot of questions, but you're taking up too much time of other people. You need to gather your thoughts, go in there once, speak to another coworker for maybe 5-10 minutes, and then you need to exit and get down to business.
What about it? I don't know, this might be kind of silly, but what about if he emailed the department a list of questions and whoever had a few seconds or a few minutes on their hands could go over and talk to him?
That's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
And then the busiest people would still be working on whatever they were working on.
You know, I always thought that there's no stupid questions until I ran into a...
Yet there are.
A previous coworker. No, absolutely. And it's like the questions would just go on and on and on and on. And eventually it's like, you need to leave my office.
Are you talking about me?
No.
Well, the other problem is the type of person who asks a question and then goes around to every other employee until they get the answer that they want.
Yeah, that's bad.
But I like the suggestion about emailing.
Yeah,
that's good. I'll look into that. Thanks, guys.
All right, well, hang on the line so we can get your
Thanks,
address
Matt.
For your gift
okay,
card.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Next, we have Lauren on line three, a distributor. Lauren, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. What's your employee dilemma?
All right, well, I have an employee. They do a great job with everything they do. They're highly competent, but they have a negative attitude, and it really just affects everybody in the office.
Yeah, that's...
I think that needs to be addressed immediately. That's the one thing that I don't think workplaces can be okay with right now.
You know what? I actually think Melinda, who's all of our boss, she's really good at turning negative attitudes around. She's
like
just
dancing?
Acts so goofy. Yeah, and she dances and sings through the departments. And when she first started, she gave all the girls flowers, and I don't know what she gave the boys, but she's really good at turning negative attitudes around. I think just being positive. If everybody's positive and that one person is negative, that could go a long way.
Yeah, I think sometimes, I agree with that. Sometimes killing them with kindness could help a little bit.
Take them out to lunch, you know, see what's going on, what's bothering them.
Yeah, I mean, it could be something at home that's bothering them, and you need to, you know, find out what that is and get to the root of it. And then, you know, figure a way that they can, you know, that they won't be bringing that back into the workplace. Because, you know, there is a place for it, and there isn't a place for it. And a lot of times, work is not the place for it. Sometimes negative attitudes can, you know, be very cyclical. They're up and down. You know,
right.
You're okay for 2 months, or you hit that very busy period, and you might be a little more crotchy than other times. And I think that if it's infrequent, or if it's, you know, very difficult times of the year, then you maybe need to be a little understanding and try to work with that employee to get through that.
It's okay for somebody to vent once in a while, but if it's a constant thing, it's going to drag everybody down.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you don't need that. Well, Lauren, thanks for the call, and hang on the line so we can get your address.
Thanks, Lauren.
Next, we have Dana on line two, who's a distributor. Dana, how are you today?
Good. How are you guys?
Very
We're
good,
doing
Dana.
Good.
Dana.
Well, I have a situation with my number one sales rep. They are absolutely awful at listening to authority or adhering to any rules, but is by far my number one seller. They basically think they can behave however they want without repercussion. How do I address this? Because they're too vulnerable. I mean, too valuable to lose.
Is he single?
Michelle will be sounds right up Michelle's alley. I think that that person, I assume it's a he, but that person needs to be addressed, kind of like our last caller. You know, you can't be. Nobody should be a drain on resources in the office place, and somebody like that is probably taking up way too much time of the people in your office place, I would assume.
Definitely.
What do you guys think?
Well, I think it's a tough situation, especially in this current economy.
I agree.
A lot of managers are going to be looking at, you know, this person is bringing in sales, mm-hmm. although they're disruptive and they do whatever they want. And that can have a negative effect on others in the workplace. You say, well, if she can get away with it, because I'm assuming it's a woman, if she can get away with it, as I look at Michelle.
I was assuming it was a man because Michelle was suddenly attracted.
Well, you never know.
But, you know, other people might start to take advantage of situations. And then if you get into that, then how do you handle that? You can't say this person's allowed to do whatever they want, but everyone else has got to fall in line. You can't have two sets of rules. So I think sitting down, acknowledging, you know, how important they are to the company, how important they are to the growth of themselves and the, you know, department and the company, that they need to, you know, alter some of their behavior. And I think that it might be a long process, but it has to be addressed.
You just have to talk to them realistically about it. Say, look, you're draining the rest of the employees and blah, blah, blah.
But we appreciate right. how much you're selling and the fact that you're supporting the rest of us.
Exactly, right.
I mean, it definitely is a, you know, a slippery slope there.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Well, Dana, thanks for the call. Hopefully you get some good luck in 2009 with that employee.
Well, thank you so much,
Dana,
for all of your help.
Hold on for your gift card.
Thanks.
Okay, guys, now many of our listeners, both suppliers and distributors, know that return on investment is vital for marketers these days. Joe, what do you know in this area?
Well, ROI, it is a tricky thing because, you know, it's not just this industry, but other marketing efforts are trying to track that, and it's been for years, it's been something that's very difficult. Marketing executives are under growing pressure to show return on investment for their programs, but many are struggling and finding the process complex, and that's according to a report by the Conference Board, which is the Global Business Research and Membership Organization. And the most frequently used metrics that they're using now is customer loyalty, satisfaction programs, customer retention, market share, market spending, revenue, web page views, and profits. So in other words, if they're doing a program and they're seeing some upticks in these areas, they're using that as their return on investment. But however, there's new approaches and methodologies and tools are making it possible to link marketing investments directly to revenues and profits. So this is something that, you know, companies are still there's statistics in here that some have only been doing this for the last year. The last 2 years, which is something that Counselor Magazine, we've been talking about since I've been here for 14 years. But it's always been, how can you track ROI? How do you do that? And most people say that it's an experienced cultural resistance when moving to market and ROI. There's a lack of resources linked to performance objectives and lack of focus where some of the primary sources of individual or cultural resistance. So it's still struggling.
But in this industry also, that survey that ASI just conducted, which is available at asicentral.com on advertising specialties.
The impressions.
That would give prospective buyers a good insight into some of the ROI that ad specialties give you.
Well, yes, but I think that company marketing exec now are looking for specifics, you know, for a specific program. We know that caps work and we know that shirts work and we've done the study, but I think that they're having to come up with like real stats for this exact program mm-hmm. to track it at the end. And I think that there's non-sophisticated ways to do that. And I've written about them in the past when I've done articles on ROI. One of the things is a retail establishment used tattoos as coupons, and it was worth 15% off. However, if you wore it in, it was worth 20% off of a purchase. So there was a way there for them to track the effectiveness of that campaign.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And you know, you can use it if you actually have a call to action in the marketing plan. You can put it in there that the person who is using that marketing plan, say it's a retail establishment, it might be, you know, tell them you heard about this on the coffee mug you received in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a trend. I mean, that distributors in this industry can really take advantage of. You know, if more marketers and more companies are going to look even closer at the return on the investment of their marketing programs, then mm-hmm. that's something that ad specialties can really prove. You know, the items aren't as expensive as many other marketing programs, and as our impression study show, it brings back, you
gives
know,
you a good bang for your buck.
Great cost per impression.
Right.
Well, we have a caller on the line about employee issues. Glenn Colton, a distributor. Glenn, how are you today?
I'm wonderful.
Hi, Glenn.
What's... Kathy, love the red shirt.
Oh, thank you.
Michelle, love the whole package.
Wow.
Well, thanks, sweetie.
What's your employee issue today?
Well, all right. Speaking of bang for your buck, I have two employees. Well, they're both gone now. This is actually I'm asking for either validation of I did the right thing or I did the wrong thing.
Okay.
We had a sales rep, and we had a all-purpose general office person. Her name and his name are not important. The thing was, after just a little while, we noticed that he and she were beginning an affair.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was married to somebody with kids, and she was married to somebody with kids.
Oh.
Yeah, and, office romances, well, gee willikers, they always happen all the time. That's no big deal. But there were just four of us working here, and two of them were having an affair, denying it all along, and we didn't know what to do because to say, well, all right, you two have to break it up would be breaking up every last office affair we had.
So how did you end up dealing with it?
Well, first I had a conversation with him where he swore to me on his children's eyes that he wasn't having an affair. And then I had a conversation with her separately where she swore to me that they were just friends. And then we fired them both for lying, and then they both moved in together and then eventually got married.
Well, so you started the relationship.
Yeah, it's my fault. I know I used the bang for your buck thing, but I had people coming up to me for at least a year, you know, when we would attend any sort of a trade show, whatever, and say, gosh, Glenn, those two are like joined at the hip. What's the deal? And I kept saying, well, according to them, they're just good friends. And then everybody would roll their eyes. I was trying to get them to behave so that I could keep a good salesperson and a good office person, but in the end, we didn't know what to do.
You know, I'm pretty, I'm probably the most, as Joe would say, loosey-goosey.
Yeah,
an open-minded one here. But I think you did the right thing because with such a small office,
it's very
that's just impossible to
There's
be able
no
to function.
There's no way with four people to have that around, I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah,
I saved the best for last. The salesperson
is
my brother-in-law.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah, and I tuned into some of the daytime dramas like Bold and the Beautiful. Or, you know, Weird and the Egregious. But in the end, everybody was drinking and doing drugs and doing one another, and I thought, well, that doesn't really give me any positive.
Sounds like you have your own soap opera script there, Glenn.
I'm telling you. Well, all
right. All right, Glenn.
Michelle,
well, thanks
thank
for the
you
call.
So much for validating what I thought I had done.
That's why I'm here, sweetie.
Thanks, Glenn.
Well, we all know the term ad creep, right? Everybody knows the term ad creep?
Creepy ad guy?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It's the trend that has advertising creeping into every crevice of our lives.
Right.
Kathy, OneSpot hadn't been a billboard for ad space until now, right?
Exactly. You know, teachers, God love them. They're expected to do so much. So much. Thanks for that,
wow.
Steve. School's in session.
School's out.
School's out.
Anyway, these days, with the economy, teachers are expected to do more with less money, and they have their budgets cut, too. So, a high school teacher in San Diego, his name is Tom Farber. He's a calculus teacher, and he decided to sell ad space on his tests.
Wow.
Yeah. How's that for interesting? He says tough times call for tough actions, so he started selling ads on his test papers, $10 for a quiz, $20 for a chapter test, and $30 on a semester final. And the aim is...
Does that mean that the semester final has better attendance or
it's like,
something?
It's like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. It does. But some businesses bought the ad space, and some parents, too, to write inspirational messages to the kids. And some businesses, such as a structural engineering firm, and one from a dentist who said, brace yourself for a great semester.
Oh,
wow.
So what do you think
of
that?
You know, I think it is, while it is a crazy place to put ads, I think, it's smart, you know? You have to be creative.
I think it's pretty
right
smart,
I agree. And I don't think that that's really detrimental advertising. Brace yourself for a great semester.
No, I don't
think
so.
Harmless.
Or the parents saying, you know, go for an A, good job, good, you know, whatever.
And here comes the contrarian.
You know, Joe.
I think it crosses the line.
Is this your rant now?
No, it's not. I think
we'll
get to that. I think it crosses the line. What happens?
Well, you're not the only one.
I mean, you know, what happens when you start getting something that might be deemed inappropriate? And I'm not talking about something that's inappropriate in, you know, sexual connotation, but, you know...
Well, you just don't take the ad.
Well, you don't take the ad, right.
Well, I know, but who determines, you
the
know,
teacher.
What that is?
The teacher would have the discretion, or maybe the principal, I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel bad.
I think there's other places that you can market to teens. I don't think on tests, and you know, are there graphics involved with these? You know, are they limited to a certain amount of lines?
Well,
are they a distraction to the students taking the test?
don't know.
They could be.
Yeah, it could be.
I read that article, though. And teachers, what is the average that they spend, like, $400 of their own money on stuff?
Out of their pockets. And I know that because my sister's a teacher, and she's always buying stuff out of her own pocket. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame them for being creative. There's certainly issues with it, but it is a creative way to raise money in a school.
I think it is. I think it's kind of cool that he thought of that. That's just my opinion, Joe.
And I'm sticking to it.
Well, here's another side effect of the down economy, guys. Sports sponsorships are in flux. Joe, give us a scoop.
General Motors agreed to discontinue a marketing effort with Tiger Woods. And
that's a big deal.
Yeah, he's been endorsing GM products, including Buick, for the last 9 years. Okay? Now we have Formula One was stung by the withdrawal of Honda Motor Company. Okay? They have a two-car race team, and it's estimated that it cost Honda $217 million in 2008. This while Honda's November sales in the United States fell 32%. Also, Andy, you might know that those New York Mets.
Yeah, they're moving into a new stadium.
They're moving into a new stadium finally. Well, Citigroup was going to put their name on it. It's going to be Citi Field. But there's some politicians up there that think that they should be sharing the name because Citigroup is getting some of that bailout money, aren't they?
Yeah. Yes. So what are they suggesting?
Ballpark's name should be changed to Citi/Taxpayer Field.
I love that.
Oh, doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, does it?
It doesn't roll off the tongue, and it's not going to happen, but it is a great point.
I love it, too.
Yeah. Sports sponsorship and sports marketing is huge, huge money. Just look at all those decals on the NASCAR cars. I mean, those people are paying to have their name fly around the track at 189 miles an hour.
Right.
Stadiums are being named. You know, companies come in forking over millions of dollars to have naming rights to stadiums.
Like Citizens Bank in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
Lincoln Financial Field.
They're all over the place. Mm-hmm. So this economy's, you know, starting to take a bite out of some of that sports marketing.
Yeah, it's having an effect. And then, there's definitely trickle down in the way that sports teams are going to have to operate their businesses as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, some of them now, and especially in these new stadiums, have these seat licensing agreement where you need to buy a license. You have to fork out, like, say it's $3,000 in order to pay for the season tickets.
I know. You have to pay for the right to pay for the ticket.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous.
Yeah. You have to pay for the right. At Lincoln Financial Field for the Eagles, you need to pay a seat license, which is, let's say, $3,000. I'm not sure the exact cost. Then after you pay that,
then you have to pay for the season tickets.
Then you have to pay for the tickets.
Yeah.
It just gives you the right to buy those tickets.
That's ridiculous.
Stadium is packed every Sunday.
If the
Eagles
demand
are there.
That's their feeling.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because the demand is there. I remember the days back in the 80s when you would turn on local games and they might be blacked out because the games aren't sold out. Even with losing records now, a lot of these, you know, outside of, you know, Arizona Cardinals.
Except in Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit. I mean, but a lot of these stadiums are still jam-packed with fans. Because it's such a culture now. It's just not a game. It's the tailgating. It's wearing your colors. It's, you know, they blog. They call it these sports shows.
Yeah, it's a whole atmosphere.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right, now it's time for everyone's favorite new segment, Joe's Rant.
Woo-hoo.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God.
We get to hear Joe Haley rant on a daily basis. But our listeners only get the opportunity to hear it once a week. Joe, what are you yelling about today?
Well, you know, I made a very lovely salad for lunch today. I made it last night and had some red leaf lettuce.
That's very healthy of you.
Yeah, tomatoes and cucumber and onions, and I stuck it in my refrigerator. But because I didn't put it on the very front of that shelf, it's midway in, you know, halfway back, the thing's frozen. Frozen solid.
Oh, I hate
and
that.
I hate this refrigerator. It was left by the previous owner. I'm telling you, it is the only good thing about it, the only saving grace is it's got a very good ice maker, but every time I go to get a cup of ice, I always drop at least one cube on the floor. But appliances that don't work drive me up
the
wall.
How about buying a new one?
Well, here's now, my question. Can't you control the temperature in there a little bit?
I'm like afraid that if I turn it – I know that.
My refrigerator does that too. It's
down to four. If I turn it down to three, I'm afraid I'm going to come home and everything's going to be warm. It's just this refrigerator came with the house. We purchased a brand new one about 6 months prior to moving into this house. It wouldn't fit in that space. So we put the new one downstairs in the basement, and we left this old one upstairs. You know, in order to, like, clean it out, you have to prop it open with a gallon of milk because the door – because it's unlevel, the door will not stay open. And I tell you, it just drives me up a wall.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes,
please, Michelle,
do.
Please do.
In my refrigerator, there is nothing but cat food and Grey Goose in the freezer. Grey Goose, by the way, does not freeze. Vodka does not freeze.
Yeah,
so that would be my suggestion.
I have some of that in my freezer, too.
Well,
of course, Joe also has
Children. Yes, children.
And that.
And I don't need to put on rubber gloves
food?
To open up their food. She uses rubber gloves to dish out the cat food.
Because it's nasty.
God.
Thanks, Joe. Well, we're glad you got that off your chest.
I feel better now.
Unfortunately,
God.
We are out of time for today. Thanks to our show sponsor, I Promote You. Thanks to all of our hosts in the studio today. And most of all, thanks to you, our listeners. Be sure to tune in again next week when we'll be sharing our lists for Santa. Thanks and have a great day.
Thanks.
Thank you.